Our second reading is to be found in the Church Bible on page 385, 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, verses 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1 and 2. This reading describes the ascension of King Josiah to the throne of Judah and the duration of his reign. Let's read the Word of God. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Let us pray for our new king, Charles III. Almighty God, the ruler of history and all that has been made, we come together as a church and nation to pray for King Charles as he takes up his important and heavy responsibilities. We believe that it is you, Almighty God, who raises up kings and queens, and that our times are in your hands. The very day of Charles' ascension to the throne was chosen by you. Your word gives clear guidance for how he should now rule and protect his people as a shepherd king. We pray for him in the emotion of losing his father, Prince Philip, and his mother, Queen Elizabeth, in the last 18 months. We pray for him in the exhausting duties of preparing and leading his mother's funeral. We pray for his queen consort, Camilla. We pray that, as the head of the Church of England, he will humbly defend the faith and learn from the Bible, which will soon be presented to him at his coronation as the most valuable thing that this world affords. We ask all these prayers in the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, Thursday, the 8th of September 2022, marked the end of an era in the history of our nation. The death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth marked the end of the second Elizabethan era in British history. Having served the longest living, the longest reigning monarch ever, most of us will not have experienced anyone other than the Queen as our monarch. For 70 years, we have referred to our monarch as Her Majesty. We have seen her face, her image on our coins, on our banknotes, on our postage stamps. We have sung of her in our national anthems. But since her coronation in 1953, aged just 25, Queen Elizabeth has been the one abiding figurehead in our nation. Having reigned through 15 parliaments, from Winston Churchill through to just past week, Liz Truss. But for most of us, the Queen has been that constant principle through all the decades of world history, through the decades of change in society and even morality. But sadly, the Queen, our Queen, has died, as we all will one day. Only our Queen died as not all will die one day, for our Queen died as a Christian. Our Queen died as a child of God. And therefore, as Christ promises us, for all who die, who fall asleep, trusting in him, that though she dies, yet one day she, Her Majesty, shall rise again. I'm not sure what your thoughts are this morning. I'm not sure what you're feeling, what you're thinking this morning at this news, whether it is indeed grief and mourning. We tend to grieve only when we know the person personally, Or maybe we're just unsettled. The past week has brought a lot of change. In 1 week, we have a new prime minister, we have a new monarch, and it's unsettling. I don't know what your thoughts are this morning or what your feelings are this morning, but I want to minister God's word to you this morning. As well as honor our Queen, Queen Elizabeth, I want to help you see sense, find comfort, be encouraged in what God says in his word. But also I want to, most importantly, point you to the greatest monarch there is, to our King, our King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the source of our comfort, of all comfort and hope today. There's only ever been one Queen of Israel mentioned in Scripture, and we certainly don't want to refer to her as an example for our queen. That queen was Athaliah, and she was a monster. She was a horrible queen. She only reigned for 7 or 8 years. Every other monarch you find in Scripture for Israel or Judah has been male. And their length of reign has been from just a few days to as much as 55 years. So straight away, our queen stands out. 70 years she has been our queen. I want us to look at King Josiah this morning. King Josiah was a tremendously godly king, a king who reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. As you can see there in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 34, we are told that he began his reign at only 8 years of age. His father, you read at the end of chapter 33, his father was called Amon. And as you read the description there, we get the sense that Amon was a rather arrogant man, an ungodly man, a king who in the end ended up murdered by his own servants just 2 years into his kingship. And so the crown is passed on to his 8-year-old son, Josiah. Now, I don't know how many of us know an 8-year-old boy, but what a pressure. What a weight to carry. I'm sure there would have been good men and women around him to support him, to help him, to grow up and to prepare him to fully reign as king over Israel. But how he reigned is described for us there in verse 2. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Are we then saying that Josiah was perfect? Oh no, not at all. None of us are perfect. That's what Scripture tells us. Whether we are prince or pauper, every one of us has fallen short of God's glorious standard. That is the common factor to all of us, whatever level of society we may be in, we all fall short of perfection. And even though Josiah is described in great ways here, he was still a sinner, as you and I are today. But the abiding principle in Josiah's life was to follow God's word, just as his godly ancestors had done, in particular King David, the famous king of Israel, described as a man after the Lord's own heart. In other words, he was a king who took God's word seriously. He read, he studied God's word, and what God, the high King of heaven, wanted, David set his heart to do that. As I thought of that, I saw something of it in our queen, in the life of our Queen Elizabeth. Various books have been written about her, and especially about her faith. And one author, Dodley Delph, has written a book on her faith, and he says her parents, King George VI and Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, as she was later known as, made sure Elizabeth and her sister Margaret attended weekly church services, read their Bibles, said their prayers. The Queen Mother instilled a great love of the Scriptures in her daughters while they were young, reading from the King James Version, as well as having them memorize favorite passages, often from the Psalms. Our Queen's parents knew what would happen. The connection with the royal family. They didn't know at the time what Elizabeth would go on to become, but they grounded their children in the knowledge of the Scriptures. And that Christian upbringing, though, appears to have been much more than what we might have expected of a typical British upbringing of that time. Dudley goes on to write that Queen Elizabeth went well above and beyond the traditional role of the sovereign. As defender of the faith and supreme governor of the Church of England, Her Majesty clearly has a Christian faith that is personal. And like King Josiah, that authenticity by which Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth lived is something that many people have referred to. Commentators and members of Parliament in their recent speeches have mentioned Her Majesty's personal faith and how having that faith and knowing her Savior affected how she then fulfilled her role as British monarch. Tim Farron, a believer, an MP, said in his speech just last week, he said, "She was a constant to us all." But as has been said already, the constant in her life was her faith in Jesus Christ. Let us remember this. For many people, it may be a perfunctory ceremonial faith. But for her, it was not. It was a living, active faith in a living Savior. It's quite a challenge for us this morning, isn't it? We who profess to have a faith in Jesus Christ. Is our faith a living, active faith that therefore determines how we live and what our character should then be in each of the roles we have? Well, as you read on with King Josiah, you come to that wonderful account of them finding a copy of Scripture in amongst the rubbish in the temple. That's an indication to us how poor things had become in Israel at that time. As you read back in previous chapters, you see how over the years the people had drifted away from their heritage. They had drifted away from the foundations that God had put them on of worshiping and serving Him, the Lord God, the one true living God. But when the Scriptures are found and then brought to the king and read to the king, we're told in verse 19 that Josiah is deeply moved by what he hears. He tears his clothes as an expression of his humility at hearing what God had said in His Word. And then he goes on to further express his humility and submission to God's Word. He brings reform to his kingdom. He encourages the people of his kingdom to repent and to go to that God and find help and strength and to worship only Him. And the great turning point in which King Josiah leads his people back is when he gives that solemn oath to obey God, to obey God's word and to do everything that God commands. As we've heard already, at her coronation in 1953, Queen Elizabeth was presented with a copy of God's Word. And the Archbishop said these words to her, which will be said to King Charles, we believe, at his coronation: "Our gracious Queen, to keep Your Majesty ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." And I believe she took those words to heart as you consider the rest of her life, when you listen to how she described her faith and often referred to the Lord Jesus. The certain phrases she used strongly implied this woman had a real knowledge of Scripture. The terms that she used in describing the Lord Jesus Christ, she clearly had a faith that was real, a real communion with a real living God. And the vows our Queen made in service to others, she kept aged only 21, she promised the Commonwealth nations, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service." And from there onwards, right up into her platinum jubilee, she kept her vow. She kept it not in her own strength, she knew that, but again, as per her faith, she acknowledged often that it was only by God's strength that she could fulfill her duty and her vows of service. Another part of King Josiah's vow in him keeping God's word was to lead the people of Israel in keeping the Passover, chapter 35. That great annual commemoration of their salvation, of when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, when the angel of death had passed over Egypt and killed all the firstborn of that nation. All were killed except those who believed God. Except those who believed what God had said, what God had promised, and therefore they did what God had said, and they painted the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. And under the Lamb, they were sheltered from God's judgment. We're told that Josiah led the people of Israel in remembering then who they were. They were God's people, a unique people, a holy people, a saved people. They were to remember who they were, and they were to remember what God had done for them in saving them. And you read there in chapter 35, verse 18, "No Passover like it had been kept in Israel since the days of Samuel the prophet." And that was a long time before now. None of the kings of Israel had kept such a Passover as was kept by Josiah. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You have this great congregational commonwealth of people coming together to remember their salvation. As I thought of that sort of national act of all of Israel and Judah coming together to remember God's goodness, it reminded me the sense of Commonwealth and United Kingdom as we would sit down to watch the Queen's speech every Christmas Day. The coming together of so many of us to hear what our Queen would say to us this year, and how this year she would express her Christian faith to a population becoming ever more secular. You see, to Israel, Passover reminded them of their salvation from slavery. Annually, it reminded them of their deliverance from bondage and death, and how God had led them out of that by a Savior, Moses. That Passover picture is fulfilled, of course, in the greater deliverance that comes in Jesus Christ, the greater Savior offering to us greater salvation to all who believe, which we then remember each time we do it. We break bread and drink wine together. But we also remember that Savior at Christmas and at Easter times, and in her speeches, or as someone called them, her epistles to the nation, our Queen would often make references to the Lord Jesus. In her speeches, she would often encourage us as a nation to go to Him in faith and to find in Him strength and help as she had as a Christian. For example, in her 2011 Christmas speech, she said, as we've heard already, "Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a Savior with the power to forgive." Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith, she said. It can heal broken families. It can restore friendships. And it can reconcile divided communities. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love. Friends, that is so true to know the power of God's love and his forgiveness of our sins. When people turn back towards him and by faith believe what he has said and receive his Son as our great Savior, we know the power of God's love. And that's what our Queen knew for herself. And in her own way, each Christmas, she evangelized our nation to do so, to put their hope and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But sadly, King Josiah died. He died in battle at Megiddo. And as you read that last paragraph of chapter 35, you see the details of what happened. And you get the impression, actually, if Josiah hadn't have gone out, good King Josiah may well have lasted longer on the throne, but it was God's timing to remove him and be replaced. We're told in verse 24, he died and was buried in the tombs of his fathers. All Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. It's a loss that a nation feels when their monarch dies. And Josiah was a good king for Israel. Josiah was a king who loved his people and who was loved by his people. So they mourned greatly. Later on, the prophet Zechariah, in chapter 12, verse 10, he uses the measure of the people's mourning for Josiah to picture how much people will mourn when Christ returns again. And they realize how wrong they were to despise him and to reject him. Our nation is in a state of mourning at the loss of our queen. Yes, we thank God we have a king, King Charles III, and indeed, may God save our king. In every sense of what that word means, may God do that. But still we mourn. We mourn the death of a good queen. And when we see the images of her coffin being transported tomorrow, I believe, from Balmoral to Edinburgh, then to London, and then to Westminster Abbey, I think it will sink in. Our Queen has indeed died. So how are we to mourn? How do we handle our feelings at this time? I close with just 2 points. First of all, we mourn with thankfulness to our God for such a Queen. We mourn with thankful hearts for someone who reigned through 70 years with such clarity of vision. Someone who reigned with such stamina. Someone who was unquestionably steadfast in her duty and in her care of us. We thank God for that. And we thank God for giving her the strength to do that, to do all that she did, not just as queen of our nation, but also as wife to Prince Philip, and mother to our 4 children and grandmother, and so forth. We pray that Prince Charles, King Charles now, will also seek that same strength, will also know that same strength in his reign as our king. And then secondly, as we close, we mourn the Queen's death, but we mourn with resurrection hope. That as King Jesus promised, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This is the hope that all believers have through all our generations, and now particularly in this time. That the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for our sin, who bore our guilt and died in our place on Calvary's cross, Christ, the great servant king, who our Queen Elizabeth referred to in one of her last letters, she wrote how even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, that he will raise her up one day. Because she put her trust in him. That is the example that Queen Elizabeth followed in being a servant to others. And he, King Jesus, as her monarch, as her king, is the one she put her trust in. a trust for her salvation now and for eternity, and who one day will raise her up to live forever with him. I've filled my message with lots of quotes that people have said about her, or things that she has herself has said. And in her one of her last letters to the Lambeth Conference this year, she said these words: "Throughout my life, the message and teachings of Christ have been my guide, and in them I find hope." And may that be the case for many people today, that in those same scriptures that were given to her at her coronation, that she read and followed through the days of her life, the person they spoke of that she put her trust in, may those same scriptures be a comfort and hope to many as we mourn with thankful hearts the death of our great King Elizabeth II. Amen. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we again thank you for the legacy that our Queen has left us. And Lord, history will be filled with more recordings of her than previous monarchs. Such is the technology of our day. And we pray, Lord, that her Christian faith will come out more and more. That even in her death, Lord, her encouragement for people to trust in Jesus will be heard by more and more people. Father, bless the good news of Jesus Christ. Bless the scriptures. Bless the comfort they bring to us in these days. And may many broken hearts, may many tearful eyes, Lord, be helped and comforted in seeking you. We ask for this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.